Welcome to Spark, powered by Harcourt's Best, a podcast devoted to sharing real estate knowledge, brought to you by Harcourt's Academy.
What do you do to get the most value out of learning events? In this episode, we talk to Michelle Ward, number 96 internationally for Harcourt's in 2018. Michelle shares her superpower of being highly organized and detailed focused, and the steps she takes to get the most business value out of learning events. It's a great pleasure to be speaking with Michelle Ward from Sumner in Christchurch, New Zealand. Michelle, great to be on the podcast.
Thanks, Tim. Great to be here.
Well, over 18 years in real estate, 100 million sold, and you've reached globally number 96 in Harcourts worldwide. Fantastic effort. So you're obviously doing something right. Let's start talking about what we call as, you know, a real estate superpower. What do you think you do better than a lot of people out there in the industry?
A superpower is probably a very interesting word. I don't know whether I've got any superpowers as such, and I don't think we're here to save the planet. We're just here hopefully trying to do a really, really good job for our owners. And I suppose probably, you know, like when we're charged with selling somebody's house, that's, you know, their biggest asset, and I take that quite seriously. And some of my vendors have been in their homes almost a lifetime. So, and I think I can honestly say with each house that I list and manage, I'd probably do exactly the same if it were my own home. So if I had to sort of say what a superpower would be, I probably would say probably my biggest strength is I'm extremely organized and very detailed and focused. And I mean, I have lots of systems in place. And just nothing is really forgotten, no stone left unturned, really.
So it means you're really consistent then too. You know, you offer the great experience to every one of your clients because you've got those systems behind it.
Correct, yeah. I'd have to say I've got, like, with each active listing, be it a vendor or a purchaser, we have a minimum in our team of 24 touch points so that, you know, within the length or the life of the listing, the vendor will be contacted at least 24 times during the current listing and post the sale of the property.
So that's a minimum, bearing in mind everything is going really well. If there's any issues or concerns, and I'm assuming there's a lot more contact to make sure no stone unturned, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's interesting too that you're well known for preferring a limited number of kind of listings, current listings, so you can give each listing that focus it deserves. I'd love to learn more about that.
Yeah, I think that's actually, that has been my philosophy and still is, although I have to say in the last 18 months my business has more than doubled. So that has changed slightly, although personally I don't like to carry too many listings at any given time because, that does, I can't give the service that I want to give my clients, and hence I've taken on a team of people, which we can probably discuss a little bit further down the track. But that has always been my philosophy in terms of just taking on as much as I could have handled.
And what do you like to take on and kind of manage yourself? You know, you might have a team of people around you, but what are some of the things that you hold dear and you won't let someone else do for you?
That's a really good question. Because that's been a biggie for me, is letting go, and I've had to let go. I think the thing that I really will do on a daily basis is vendor contact every day. If I've got a listing, they'll hear from me. Now, sometimes they might be overseas, and of course it's not going to be all the time, but most of the time they'll get a phone call, hey, how you going? Nothing to report in today, or something, we'll just check in. Just that touch point.
Tell me about some of the things, the non-negotiables that you put into every transaction, and maybe tell us a story about some of those times where you've done, you know, almost an outstanding job, and you've gone almost above and beyond and delivered the clients an outstanding experience that they're raving to other people about.
Well, I think post-earthquake, every client is getting above and beyond, especially from where we're out here in this area. We were pretty hardly hit. So, look, there's numerous, but they all do get a pretty much one-on-one experience. I mean, I had a dear old lady, Doreen. She was 94 years young, and she lost her house in the earthquake, plus her husband. She had a real hard time. She was immobile, relied on transport from a family. She'd lived there for over 20 years. She got in contact with me through her daughter. I went up and met her, and look, I don't know, she's just one of those dear women that you just wanted to just go above and beyond, which we did. We took her property to auction. And look, I'd have to say it was probably one, I mean, I've sold properties anywhere from, you know, 300 through to close to 2 million. Her little home was only worth probably around under that 200,000 mark. She got probably more attention than some of my other clients, even, you know, popping in for cups of teas and things like that. And she was really fascinated with my little black car, so we even offered to take for a burn around the block and that, you know, just little things like that, and she was just a dear, she was just a darling. So we ended up selling her little property at auction, above reserve, if I can say that. And we just keep in contact with her. I mean, I've gone to see people in another elderly woman that was in a hospice and desperately trying to hang on to control of her house, and the family sort of saying, do you mind coming into the hospice and seeing her? I said, absolutely not. And then she wanted to see the photos. And so we did a really cool marketing video, got all the photos, put it on a little USB stick, got it to the hospice, and she sat and watched on the TV her house being marketed with a really beautiful video. I mean, it's just all those real things that you probably do for your own parents. We just do it for our clients as well.
It's the personal touches, and you're treating clients as people. You know, they're not just another number on a spreadsheet. They're a person with wants and goals and dreams, and you're really connecting with them, knowing what they want. And you know, I guess some of the reward is just seeing the reaction.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I get a real big kick out of that. It's just so, so cool. Yeah. I mean, look, sometimes it doesn't go all good all the time, as we all know that. But bulk of the time, we give 110% service to our clients.
So what does lead generation look like for you now? Are you doing much, picking up the phone and door knocking, or is your business more kind of repeat and referral these days?
Yeah, good question. Another really good question, because I've gone a complete overhaul of my business. Everything's been turned out upside down, inside out. Before the earthquake, I was sort of playing around with a few ideas of just doing marketing videos. And I remember standing on top of a property up on overlooking the beach here at Sumner and thinking, gosh, I wish I could just captivate this all on video, but there was no platform to show little videos. Anyway, the earthquake happened, things quietened down, and then I sort of just parked the idea for a while until probably around about 2015, 2016, just thinking I really want to, you know, move into more visual marketing type videos. I mean, where we live out here is a small community. It's a niche community, and I just was waiting for the right property to market, which literally fell in my lap. It was a waterfront home, and I just knew this was a fantastic opportunity to create a marketing video. And I literally paddleboarded right up to the home with this video. We had a film guy there, and that video went viral, and that was a couple of years ago. And since then, I've done probably over 60 marketing videos for my client, anything from mountain biking, as I said, paddleboarding, riding a horse, rollerblading, you name it, I've done it. It's all there to focus and feature on the house, and it's just been so, so well received. So probably in a nutshell, I'd say that I've really put a lot of time and effort into visual marketing and rebranding myself as well.
And so you're putting your personality in those videos as well. Like, they're getting to know you as well as the properties. Yeah.
Hell yeah, I sure am. I mean, look, they're a little bit out there, but look, my clients love it, and it's just so well received in the area in which we live and outside our sort of little community as well. I've started branching out. So there's a world of opportunities out there. You just got to think a little bit outside the box.
And I guess being yourself in these videos mean that when people actually meet you in person, they already feel like they know you. You're the same person on video and in person.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, probably about 18 months ago, you know, not a lot of people were seeing the videos, and now they've pretty much becoming the norm. It's very, very common for somebody to walk into an open home and say, "Oh, I saw your video." Yeah. And it's already broken the ice, and we have a little bit of a laugh over it and things like that. So I think it makes me very, very relatable to purchasers and to vendors. Yeah.
And how much do you think it's also selling the location as well? You know, to be able to kind of show the lifestyle choices that are available, is it really kind of like a draw card to bring people into the community as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a lot of our clients, I'd say over 50, maybe over 60% of people moving into our area are overseas people. So, you know, any video or anything that we can show of the location about the area, the schools, the cafes, the shops, the beaches, it just all helps to paint a really, really nice picture. I mean, we're all selling a home, but we're also selling the home within a location, and the location out here is gold, you know.
Mm. So let's go back to the beginning. Michelle, do you remember like the first home that you sold and the people you sold it to? And
oh, I can't even remember what I did yesterday. But yes. No, I actually do. I do. And it was like, I think it was under 100,000, I think. I can't remember. Something like that. Yeah. But go on.
Do you remember, like, was it early on? Did it take a while to kind of get the momentum and then get that property and get it sold? How quickly did it happen?
Oh, I was like, oh, my God. You know, that first listing was just, I think it was in Riccarton from memory. But, yeah. It was just so exciting to have that. But it did take a while. I don't think I was a bulk lister straight away. I was so focused on just giving 110% that I probably took a bit of a slow starter, but once I sort of got up and rolling, and I'd say it was a good 3 years before I started to see some results and some referrals coming through from that building a good foundation, a good basis, and a good client care relationship going with my clients.
So was there any light bulb moments where you changed your tack during that time, or was it really just doing the basics and just doing them for long enough that you got
doing the
them,
basics. Yeah. Look, I did the basics and did them, you know, really, really well, year after year after year. And then probably about two years ago, I decided, right, I'm going to switch a gear, which I did. I got into doing some research, and I hired a PA at the time, and that was good. That freed me up to do the things that we're meant to do, which is get out there and meet people, meet and greet and do your thing. So getting PA was the best thing. That role has now developed into a business manager role. So I have a business manager and I also have another two people in my team. So the light bulb moment, I think, was just saying, okay, I can't afford a PA, but I'm going to go and get one and see what happens. And I actually remember saving up the money for a whole year to pay a PA salary and just go, I'm going to commit to it for a year and see how I go. And I did, and it's changed my business.
Looking back, would you do it any differently? Like, would you have done the whole PA change sooner, or are you kind of happy that it happened when it did?
I think given we had all those earthquakes, it was probably just good timing when I did do it. I think I'd say to anybody coming into real estate now, just have a little bit of faith in yourself. I think confidence is a really, really key thing in real estate. But, you know, confidence is sometimes gained best by experience. I know that. But I think just back yourself. And if you truly, truly know you're doing a good job, you're doing the basics, you're getting out there, you're doing what needs to be done, you'll get there. But I think experience, if I backed myself a lot earlier years ago, I'd probably be in this position, you know, a few years ago. But then, you know, I'm a firm believer it's just things happen for a reason, and 2 to 3 years ago I decided to switch a gear, and I have, and I've doubled my business.
Yes, I think the proof's in the pudding, isn't it? Your business is doing great.
Yeah, no, it's been good, and it's fun, and I have a lot of fun. Absolutely, our team, if anybody had to describe our team in one word, it would be fun.
Great, because you don't want work to be work. You know, you want it to be enjoyable.
Yeah, no, well, I can honestly say our team loves coming to work. We have a laugh, we have a giggle, but when it's heads down and we're focused, we're extremely focused because we've got a lot of work to get through. At the moment, we're a little bit slow, so it's quite quite nice to have a bit of a breathing space. But we also use during that downtime, we're looking at all our systems, reassessing everything, making sure we're all ready to go because it's going to get busy again.
So that's a really interesting point, because you're saying, you know, often when you're busy, you know, you don't have that time to reflect. You know, you've got your systems, follow the systems because you need to get through the work. Interesting to point out that because, you know, real estate can be ebbs and flows here and there, that you use that downtime to kind of revisit and go, are we doing the best we can be doing with our systems? That's really interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's key. It's absolutely key in our business. And I say our because there is a team of four of us. You know, we've got a little bit of downtime at the moment. And yes, it's lovely to sit back and recharge your batteries and maybe you could just go for a walk along the beach, which is all part of recharging yourself for the next busy period, because we all tend to be like bears here and live, you know, hibernation during the winter. But no, we really use that downtime as just, right, okay, what do we need to change to improve for the next busy 6 months until the next downtime? And we've sort of identified two downtimes, which is sort of that June, July, where it's a little bit quieter, and just after Christmas as well. And that's when we just pull everything into gear, check all our systems and make sure that everything's humming.
So is this also the time of year when you're looking at how you can grow yourself? You know, I think we spoke before we started recording about you've been getting into podcasts recently. Tell us a bit more about that. Like, what are you using to learn and grow?
After the earthquakes, when I was literally sitting at home twiddling my thumbs thinking I'm never going to sell a house in Christchurch ever again, I thought that was the end of my career. Nothing could be further from the truth. So, I mean, I did a little bit of research about what happens to a real estate market after earthquakes, just because I had nothing else to do. And then I got on to it's Ray Wood's Top Agents Playbook, I think they're called. It's gold. There's so many interviews there from people and real estate agents and inspiring people from all over the world. There's a lot of Australians there, but there's huge content in there. It's absolutely fantastic, and I couldn't recommend it highly enough.
Because I think you need to really be able to connect with the content too, don't you? Because there's such a broad range of people out there that you kind of need to find those sources that you can actually feel like, oh, they're talking to me. I can take on some of those learnings.
Yeah, yeah. And some of the podcasts are a bit hit and miss, and they think, oh, well, no, I didn't really get anything out of that one. But, I mean, the best thing about podcasts is you sit and listen to it when you're driving in your car.
Exactly. It's a great use of that downtime.
Yeah. So, and I'm all about maximising time.
Absolutely. Well, Michelle, before I let you get back to it, any kind of final words for the team Harcourt, and any kind of ideas or thoughts or places you think they should go and check out?
What I'm thinking of doing next year is taking my whole team to ARIC in Aussie next year.
On the Gold Coast.
Yep. I've been looking into that for a wee while now and thinking that I think, yes, as I said, it's a bit controversial because it's not a Harcourt-based one, but in a way I quite like that because I think the content there is purely there for anybody wanting to develop and grow their business. So I haven't been to one, but I've heard a lot about them. So that's something that's on my radar.
Absolutely. And I think the Harcourt's conference is normally the week after. So if you want to stay on a few days.
So, I mean, I think any of those things. I mean, we're fortunate enough that the franchise that I'm in, which is Grenadier, they do a lot of good training programs. They bring people in. Look, I think that it's really valuable because I do think you might not pull something out, but even if it's just one little thing, but it's all very well to pull something out from, you know, to hear something, but it's how you action it is the most important.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of things, one, two, three things, but it's about that change.
That if I've been to a conference, after the conference, I would normally take 3 days after the conference and go through all my notes and just go, right, what have I learned? What have I got down? How am I going to implement it? And I usually sit down and do that on my own, or I'll go away on a retreat or something like that. Otherwise, there's no point in going to these things if you don't action them.
No, if it's just back to business as usual. And is there any other stage that you're reflecting on those notes? Like you coming back, say, a couple of months, 6 months, even a year later, just to look over those notes again?
I've started in my own business plan. And this is only a fairly recent thing, but I go on a retreat. I'll just go somewhere where it's all about me, but it's also I take my work with me, and that's usually in January. I'll do that for a week or two. I've just booked my next one for next January. And I'll take my laptop and stuff and just go over everything that, you know, notes and things, and did we do this and have we done that? What can we do? Because once you get too busy, it just gets parked.
Great advice for everyone out there. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for your time. It's been great speaking with you.
Oh, thanks, Tim. Good to talk to you too.
Thank you for listening to the Spark Podcast, brought to you by Harcourt's Academy. If you liked what you heard, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. And remember, knowledge is power. Knowledge shared is power multiplied.